I think the town infirmary property would be an ideal location to house either or the farm, living farm museum, or an arts and crafts center. Really, I think one would be an adjunct to the other.
The property is large enough in a way so that if a little bit of extension were made or something, it could gradually grow.
Oh, yes, yeah.
Into both, so that it would be a delightful thing, and the location is beautiful.
Yes, no, this is very true. I've also toyed with the idea, plus maybe location wouldn't help this, but the Westport Factory Upper Mill, so-called,
mm-hmm.
Now used as a boat storage warehouse, I believe. Also strikes me as being a very good place for craftsmen to locate. The building is quite an attractive building once you get the facade free of the billboards and so forth.
Mm-hmm. Oh, those old mills are simply beautiful, I think.
And I think that, of course, it's plenty of space there for such, but mm-hmm. This would be an ideal spot for individual craftsmen to work, and also for crafts classes to be held,
mm-hmm.
and its location between the two large cities would be good too.
Mm-hmm.
You certainly could have enough space there to have a craftsman show that might attract 100 or 150 other craftsmen, and
yes.
You might have space to.
And it's right on the main highway, so that.
And I think once it is established, then I think you would attract a sizable attendance. This probably was your problem with your show on 177 hadn't been established.
No, people weren't used to going over there. Mm. Another proposal, which of course depends on a member of the community and probably would be frowned on for many reasons. First of all, it would mean being donated probably by this person, but some members of the arts group, thinking of Edna Lubelink, who worked so hard on this yesterday and who was so interested in it, thought how nice it would be to have a tea room down at the wharf in the old fish market and have craftsmen working and exhibiting where the romance of the boats and so on were near. But parking places would be a problem, and then maybe the point wouldn't like a lot of traffic going through it.
Well, of course.
What do you think of that idea?
Of course, I don't think it would be objectionable traffic, and certainly wouldn't be. You're thinking of what is now Lee's Bar?
It's Mrs. Lee's property.
Yeah.
She owns it.
Right. No, I feel that would be a very ideal spot for a crafts location. After all, there's a town landing there, and there certainly there's parking available on that, and I don't feel that, as I say, I don't feel the parking would be an amount at that particular spot.
All right, let's go back to the trips. Mm-hmm. You say that this James Tripp was a farmer?
John Tripp. I'm sure James, his son, probably was a farmer also, but I'm,
all the way along they may have been farmers.
Right. Although there have been quite a number of mariners in the family, too.
Mm-hmm. Yes, and Captain Tripps
mm-hmm.
and so on.
Oh, yes.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But John apparently was a carpenter, I believe.
Oh, a carpenter,
yeah.
Did you say? Mm-hmm. Well, I guess every man almost who first came over had to be a carpenter,
mm-hmm.
more or less.
Right.
Do you know, you hadn't heard tales in your family about how he acquired land or anything like that?
No,
trading
no.
with the Indians? Or,
not really.
No, not too much folklore associated with the family living way back when.
No, not really. Of course, my grandfather, Alexander Tripp, was quite a large landowner here in town. Had two farms and a dairy, what was Tripp's Dairy, and later acquired by Nelson, Charlie Nelson.
Mm-hmm.
And
where were his farms?
He had one farm on Gifford Road, and then the other farm was located on Horseneck Road, where Willis Tripp lives today.
Mm-hmm.
And the dairy was also located on Gifford Road.
Mm-hmm.
And he really was quite a successful farmer.
Mm-hmm.
For that particular period in time.
Mm-hmm.
He,
this is your grandfather, and what was that particular period in time, you know?
Well,
you know, I'm so old that probably it was about my...
Would have been in the latter part of the 19th century.
Mm-hmm.
And up to the, I would say the first quarter of the 20th century.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And although the dairy continued under the management of one of my uncles, until the 1940s, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, Willis continued farming on the Horseneck Road place up until his retirement a few years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Now this is carried on by his sons.
Mm-hmm.
Where
on Horseneck Road is it located?
Oh, that's a good question. It's located at a bend in the road where you can look down and see the river and the islands and so forth, about, 2.5 miles south of Hicksbridge Road.
Mm-hmm.
On the west, would be on the west side of Washington Road.
The west side, mm-hmm. West side of Washington Road, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And you would look down the river. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
It's a beautiful spot.
Mm-hmm.
Fantastic spot. My father told stories of driving dry cows across the river, having them swim across the river to the islands.
Mm-hmm.
Where they would be pastured for the summer. Mm-hmm. And then driving them back in the fall.
Mm-hmm.
So on.
That's fascinating, I think. I think that's an interesting tidbit of information to have. This is what I'm working to pull out.
Sure. And another kind of interesting thing, my father was rather inclined to enjoy West Indian cooking, and this I think would be rather unusual for an old Yankee to enjoy. However, I think he got used to that type of cooking from one of the cooks that was employed for the farm.
Mm-hmm.
on Horseneck Road.
Mm-hmm.
Who was a West Indian, and who used curries and so on, and so my, surprisingly enough, my father enjoyed this sort of thing.
Mm-hmm. That's also very interesting.
Yeah,
too, because
yeah.
They're, you know, I mean, this is not Yankee at all.
Right.
No.
But I'm sure other members of the family would not enjoy anything but good old plain Yankee cooking.
Yeah. Boston brown bread, beans and brown bread,
mm-hmm.
I expect. Or
Johnny
ham, cake. Johnny cakes, ham, mm-hmm, sausage.
Right.
I, not too long ago, some of the people I've taped found, you said you had turkey for Thanksgiving,
mm-hmm.
And since Thanksgiving is very near,
mm-hmm.
Some of the, great many of the people whom I have taped, there were no turkeys, board and tripped, came over to this house because Mabel Crosby's husband had learned how to raise a turkey.
Mm-hmm.
And back in even just a few years before your family had turkeys, there just weren't turkeys in Westport. And so everybody had chicken for Thanksgiving or ham or you know, pork or something.
Mm-hmm.
In your grandfather's day, did they? How was food kept when you were a boy? Do you remember at all what kinds of?
Well, of course, we have always had an electric refrigerator.
You've always had an electric refrigerator. Your grandparents.
My grandparents, and this would be. I never knew my paternal grandparents, by the way. but my mother's parents used an ice box.
Mm-hmm.
And of course this always was rather amusing because there were some very interesting times that occurred when the ice box was to be filled with ice or when the drip pan was overflowing on underneath. I mean, someone would have neglected to notice this, and pretty soon the water was running all over.
I well remember.
And of course, when my grandfather would arrive with a cake of ice that was too large to fit into the ice compartment, of course, there had to be a lot of chipping.
Where'd he get his ice?
Well, I
you don't
really
remember,
am
I suppose.
Not too sure about where he picked it up.
I know.
I do remember that at times there would be an iceman that would be
traveling, mm-hmm.
delivering ice in the area. But this was, as I say, because we didn't have this at my house, I really,
You didn't weren't too interested in it since
no.
it wasn't home.
No, but I do remember it used to cause some amusement at times in
yes.
my grandparents' house. And of course, the ice business was a very big one, I believe. There was an ice house up on Watapa, the North Watapa Pond.
Mm-hmm.
And this used to, I think one of my uncles worked there. And it's kind of an interesting phenomenon that they could cut the ice and maintain it all summer long
mm-hmm.
in the ice houses and so on.
Yes. I taped John Hart over here on Adamsville Road, who lives, you know where he lives, at the little greenhouse
mm-hmm.
down there across from the pond.
Yes.
And he thinks of winters as being much colder when he was a young man than they are now. I don't know, you're so young that they probably weren't any colder than they are now. But your grandmother
no.
might have thought they were. I don't
no,
know.
I really don't. I don't have any specific recollections in that regard. I feel that we, you know, some years we seem to have colder winters than others. It's really as far as any specific period when the winters were colder, I don't recall this.
According to John Hart, the fact that the husks are thick on his Johnny cake corn, Indian corn, means that we're going to have a cold winter, and I've heard someone else say that the caterpillar's fur was thick, so I guess this winter's going to
be... I think, Mary, because I really was not terribly involved in raising vegetables and husbandry of any sort.
You weren't a biologist.
I really didn't pay too much attention uh-huh. to that sort of thing, so I just I really wasn't impressed one way or the other.
All right, my last question now, and I asked of everyone, if you were a very powerful person and could change anything about Westport that you wished, what might you change, or might you change nothing?
Well, yes, I would. I think I would try to change some attitudes that seem to be part of the philosophy of some of the longtime residents of the town. And I should preface this by saying I feel that Westport is a very beautiful place in which to live. There are still many areas of the town which are almost unspoiled.
Yes.
And I feel that we should strive to retain the natural character of the area and the historical character of the area as much as possible. And I think we really will benefit the town a great deal by doing that rather than by bowing to quote progress unquote
yes.
and losing a lot of this. And I think it's once we do change people's attitudes, then it becomes far easier to retain some of these things.
Do you have you been thinking, I'm sure you must have been thinking about how we can gradually, I suppose the Historical Museum is one, I mean the Historical Society and all that you're working with, certainly is, you're doing it to change attitudes.
Mm-hmm. Surely. What was your question?
That was, have you been thinking about ways in which attitudes could be changed?
Oh, well, I haven't really thought of specific ways. I think one of the methods that I'm trying to use with the Historical Society is to publish a newsletter, which I've sort of been doing completely on my own. But I think this is one of the best vehicles for helping historical societies, society members, to formulate attitudes. And I hope to improve the newsletter as time goes on.
I think you do a marvelous job with the newsletter, and to think that you do it without help is simply incredible to me. Well, now, when you think of how few people it reaches, and these people are probably already not the people who have the attitudes that need changing
right,
most.
This is
now,
true.
How are we going to reach the others?
Well, I think that our historical commission should become a very potent force in changing attitudes. And I'm looking forward to Christopher Gillespie as chairman of the commission, because he is young and very interested in the commission's work and so on. And I think that the commission, through a number of ways, might help to educate townspeople to the need for historic preservation. I really can't give you specifics on this.
No, I didn't think you could yet. Well, I want to thank you very much for giving up your Sunday afternoon when you're a busy school teacher and so on and coming down this long lane to talk with me. I think we've covered a lot of ground.
Well, I've enjoyed chatting with you, Mary, and I'll be very interested to either read the transcription or hear the tape.
I wish we had time. I'd play the tape back to you now, but I guess we don't. And so I'll just sign off and say good evening.
Good night, Mary.
Down here were snobs that we were trying to preserve something very precious and so on and so forth. And it almost looked like we were asking for support for something that shouldn't interest them at all.
Mm-hmm.
We had this distinct division of interests.
And you'd like to see it become more one?
Yes, if possible, if we could get people working together to recognize the fact that we do have a unique community. But I'm sure it's difficult to convince the people who are adjacent to the two cities, Fall River and New Bedford, where they moved into newly developed areas and so on, to recognize the fact that we do have in this area, happens to be here, an area that should be preserved from historic point of view and environmental point of view and so on.
Living in Central Village as I do, you see, I'm halfway sort of between.
Yeah.
And I feel quite close to the head, and the head's quite close. And for instance, I'm going up to Northwestport up on Sanford Road tomorrow to make a tape.
Sure.
And I have a feeling that people are going to move together closer and closer, gradually.
Yeah. I hope so.
I think SMU is doing it, helping, you know. I mean, a lot of people, aren't they? Aren't many students coming from the North End?
I think so, yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, definitely.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, Ted, thank you so much for coming out on a night when you've worked so hard all day. And you've been very, very expressive.
Very happy to do it.
Thanks.